It's here and now, and as we continue to follow news about President Obama's Supreme Court nomination, we're also following the presidential race. Fox News canceled Monday night's presidential debate after Donald Trump said that he would not attend. Trump won in Florida yesterday, as well as North Carolina and Illinois, but he lost Ohio to John Kasich, and recounts are possible for both parties in Missouri, which we haven't called yet. Ted Cruz is close behind Donald Trump there, and Bernie Sanders may score his only victory over Hillary Clinton from yesterday's primaries in Missouri. So let's bring in our political analysts, Angela Rye, Democratic strategist, not affiliated with any of the campaigns. Hi, Angela.
Hello, Jeremy.
And Paris Denard is with us as well, Republican strategist, also not affiliated with any of the campaigns. Paris, great to have you as well.
I'm always happy to be here.
And we always start with Donald Trump, don't we, Paris? And let's do it
again.
We
always. So,
Donald Trump.
The Trump train is strong, buddy.
It's strong, oh, and Lord. It seems like it's getting stronger. Let's listen to him from Good Morning America today on ABC, talking about the nearly 4 in 10 Republicans who now say they're considering supporting a third-party candidate because of him.
Well, I understand what they're saying because it's been a very tough campaign. It's been a very nasty campaign, and they were with somebody else, and the somebody else may not be in the race anymore. And there were a lot of hard feelings, and so I understand it. But just let me tell you, a third-party guarantees, not 90% or 99%, 100%, that your Democrats will win, probably Hillary. I guess it's Hillary. It looks like it.
Paris, is that your sense that the party's going to basically split and there'll be a big movement to try to get somebody, another Republican maybe, to run against Donald Trump and whoever the Democrat is?
I mean, the sentiment amongst this GOP establishment is that they have to stop Donald Trump at all costs. And so, I mean, people are even considering Ted doing things to help Ted Cruz, which is unheard of because, you know, 2 months ago, everybody in the GOP establishment absolutely hated Ted Cruz. And so the idea of a third party candidate, I think it's ill advised because it's never worked and it always is going to work against Republicans. You had Ross Perot, and to this day, George H.W. Bush cannot stand Ross Perot for the things that he did in that campaign, which he believes cost him the election. So a third-party candidate is not the way to go. It's not going to win. You don't have the infrastructure to do it. The GOP establishment is going to have to get behind either Donald Trump or do whatever they can to be for John Kasich. But outside of that, we are not going to help ourselves in the general election to win against Hillary Clinton.
But again, and we've gotten into this before when it comes to this idea of John Kasich, who, by the way, mathematically, it's impossible for him to get the amount of delegates he needs before the convention at this point. So the only way for him to become the candidate would be for the delegates at the convention, I guess, to go with the person who didn't get the most votes. A lot of people have been talking about House Majority Leader or Speaker of the House, rather, Paul Ryan, the idea that he would be selected at the convention as the GOP candidate, even though he's not even running for president. Here's what he said about that.
You know, I haven't given any thought to this stuff. People say, what about the contested convention? I said, well, there are a lot of people running for president. We'll see. Who knows?
So now later on, his top aide said that's not what he's into. He doesn't want to do that. But Paris, is there really a possibility that the party is going to select somebody against the will of the voters?
Anything is possible with this election, but, you know, everyone said that Speaker Ryan or then Congressman Ryan wasn't even going to consider being Speaker, and we see what happened then. The party is so desperate to have a win, and I agree. I want to win. I want to have a Republican back in the White House. That is our goal. We want somebody that can win in general. However, when you do things and play these crazy backroom deals to circumvent the will of the voters, you're going to destroy the party. And now, never before, you've seen Republicans, independents come together to support Donald Trump. So either you say we acknowledge that that's where the party and the people want to go, or we move and say let's help on second ballot to get John Kasich again. But to insert someone who has not run a primary and no one has voted for, it sounds like more of the Democrats with superdelegates and crowning Hillary Clinton.
Angela, I want to bring you in. I actually would love to hear your
Good.
Thoughts,
I
first of all, on the
Republican
side.
Jeremy.
What do you see when you look at that?
a hot mess. So I'm just really interested. It's true, Jeremy. You can laugh about it. Paris can. But Paris has totally changed his tone on Donald Trump. We need to run back some of these old video. I mean, the old clips, because he has completely changed his tone. I don't know who got into his water and poisoned it, but I'm going to find out. I would say the most interesting thing to me is that poll after poll has demonstrated that Donald Trump will need 7 of 10 white men to win this election. And I just cannot get over the fact that this is the anniversary, the third anniversary year of the GOP autopsy report. And the type of party base that Donald Trump is creating is everything that that autopsy report said it did not want to be anymore.
That's the report that came out after the 2012 campaign. And they said that they really need to work harder on attracting some of the minority voters in this
brown,
country, and especially
women,
Latinos.
Gays, yes. And they are doing the exact opposite of that. Whether you're looking at the rally protests at Donald Trump's rallies, the fact that even he most recently said, my supporters don't go to other people's rallies and disrupt. And we saw two disruptions yesterday, not even on the Democratic side, but on the GOP side. So this is, it's just really fascinating to me that this guy can do no wrong. He does not have to ever tell the truth. And he continues to gain traction. The fact that he can promote violence and incite violence at his rallies and just go up in the polls. And I think we saw that as evidence in Florida, North Carolina, Missouri, Ohio, and I'm missing one, but the five states from yesterday. So it's just really interesting to me that he continues to soar, other than Ohio. That was my last
right.
one.
What about, and by the way, I'm sure that Donald Trump would say he's not inciting violence at his rallies.
I'm sure,
but of course, there are a lot of people who do agree with you, Angela, about that. But let
Bernie
me ask you
Sanders
about the Democrats.
Stop sending
too.
Them over.
Oh, come on, Paris. You know better than that.
Let's talk about the Democrats, because yesterday was actually a big day on the Democratic side as well, with Hillary Clinton having big wins in state after state. It's not quite clear what's going to happen in Missouri, but even if there is a win from Bernie Sanders, it's going to be a very, very close one. Let's listen to Hillary Clinton speaking last night.
Our next president has to be ready to face three big tests. First, can you make positive differences in people's lives? Second, can you keep us safe? Third, can you bring our country together again?
And then here is Bernie Sanders. And by the way, when he was speaking, he spoke for, I think, an hour last night. And a lot of the networks were not caring what he had to say. They were caring some of the big winners from last night. But here's Bernie Sanders.
Real change never takes place from the top on down. It always takes place from the grassroots on up.
Angela, what's your sense of the race at this point on the Democratic side? Does it continue really all the way to the convention, or is it possible for Bernie Sanders to really catch up at this point?
Well, I think that your question is loaded in that Bernie Sanders is not dropping out. He's been very clear. First, he said he would not drop out until June, and now he's saying very clearly he will not drop out until the convention. And I think that his mission is not so much winning the nomination anymore as much as it is helping to reshape and refine the message. So long as he continues to stay in this primary season, he will continue to acquire delegates, which only ensures that he has more power to shape the message going into the general. So that, I think, is what his focus will be now, which is interesting, because I think when he first got into this race, right, I think so many of us underestimated him catching the type of traction he did, getting the type of donations and support that he got, whether we're talking about with young people or with blue-collar white male workers. But he really did catch traction, and I think because of that, he will have a unique role in shaping the message. And if we're honest, he certainly has helped Hillary Clinton's message thus far. She's taken a lot of the points that he's raised, whether it's about Wall Street or trade, and has roped them into what she said. She started touting more of her social justice background and career, and I think a lot of that is owed to Bernie Sanders.
Paris, I finally want to go back to you. I'm here in Miami. This is where Marco Rubio ended his campaign last night. He had a lot of support from Latinos in Florida, especially here in Miami-Dade County. But do you think that he's got a future in the Republican Party, or is that it for him? Because he's already said he's not running for Senate again.
You know, I think the problem with Marco Rubio is the fact that he never really gave a clear rationale as to why he was going to run for president. It's not enough to say that you're young. It's not enough to say that you have a great personal story. You have to give a real rationale as to why you have the qualifications or experience to run. And unless he goes and becomes a CEO or does something significant in the policy realm to really make up for where he's deficient, I don't see how he can come back on the national stage again and be strong, because there's a lot of other people who would have had the experience that he has. But I think he will remain a voice in the party, and I think he will remain someone that the party looks to advance certain issues. I would have hoped that he would have been the candidate that says, I'm going to be the champion of immigration, and mm-hmm. stuck to his original position on immigration. I'm going to be the candidate for change. I'm going to be the candidate for these things that he kind of waffled on. And I think that that is part of his inexperience and youthfulness, and I think that time will help him. So hopefully he stays active in the party and is a voice, but I don't know how he can come back and say, now I'm going to be a nominee for president. Don't think it didn't work now, and I don't think it work again.
And now that he is out, by the way, the average age of a U.S. Presidential candidate has jumped up to 63.8. Mm. And now, with the exception of Ted Cruz, it looks likely that this country's next president, I mean, we don't know what's going to happen at the Republican convention, but this country's next president is likely to be from a previous generation than the current president, which is kind of interesting. Angela Rye, Democratic strategist, and Paris Denard, Republican strategist. It's always great to hear your thoughts on what's going on the campaign trail, and it sounds like it will continue for a little while yet to come. Thanks so much to both of you.
It's March Madness.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, boy.